Yeah, who's doing that? Kratom Shield intro.
Yeah.
Well.
Best meow in the game. Who's doing the intro? I guess I'll do it. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios, where we alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit. The state is out of your head. Can you feel it, Michael W. Dean and Jeremy Heisen N-word?
Little green man.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And Steve Miller. I can feel it.
Lisa Fiend, Lisa Lasho, is like,
I can't do that voice. I'm sorry.
She's like, no, but she's like an inch and a half. She's like an inch and a half high and walking on my keyboard. I see her. She's green now.
Okay, and I guess the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yep,
got it in. I had to trick you into seeing the green fairy in order to
astrally project into my butt. Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
So.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Dog, whoa.
Are you? Hey, talk normal volume. I gotta do a sound check here. Like, I gotta go listen to it because I'm not even sure. Everything's like sounding echoey.
I am talking at a normal volume.
Good.
This is normal volume.
Are you at a normal volume?
I am talking at a normal volume, Michael. I think you are having.
Though I'm hearing some kind of background noise. Yeah. Yeah. And of course I am talking at my normal voice as Steve Miller as well, because he's late. You're late and you're fired, so I'm gonna make you say things that you don't particularly agree with, like I think Adam Kokesh is a swell guy, and I think that Molyneux is on the right path.
Yeah,
that's what I'm gonna say right now.
I was a little quiet, so I turned up a bit. So am I, maybe if I get louder. Is this louder? Is this louder? Is this louder? Hello?
No.
Okay.
Is this louder? No. Is this louder?
Yes, that is louder.
All right, so I'm going to leave it on
this
that.
This is a teaching hospice, by the way. A teaching Kratom's den.
How are Jeremy, what's up with you and your murdered dogs?
Not much. It's been quiet here. All the dogs are going to start rolling in soon, though. I got, loading up.
Dogs will roll right in.
Yes, the dogs will roll right in for the holidays. For the next month and a half, I'll be pretty crazy around here. Tonight is just me and my murder dog.
Yeah, so everybody's flying around and saying, hey, I don't want to leave my dog at home in the snow. Does it snow? It snows in New York. I don't know. Yes. I don't know how this works, but I'm sure it snows there. So everybody just doesn't want to leave their dog in the snow or leave them in the house so they can tear up the whole house while they're gone. So they leave them to you.
Yeah. Or they don't want to they don't want to leave him in a kennel somewhere.
Kennels are depressing, man. That's like dog jail.
Yeah, they're not. Kennels are the reason I started my business, cuz I worked in them when I was younger, and when I got my own place, I was like, well, I have all this room and it's just me, so why not?
Yeah.
I bet it makes good money, especially on the holidays, but then you're stuck at home. Good thing you defood everybody, right?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Well, you have an excuse now, too, to not go see family. I'd love to, but.
I was never a huge fan of holidays anyway, and since I became an anarchist, I care even less about most of them, so.
Wow, now how does that work? That sounds, to people just listening or just tuning in who aren't really familiar with the beautiful high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends, that sounds really depressing, what you just said. Now that I'm an anarchist, I hate my family. What does that mean?
No, it's not. I didn't say I hate my family. I said the holidays. I was talking about the holidays. Oh, I didn't care for them much to begin with.
And yeah.
I care for them even less.
You punk. So I got my cousins over here, Cash Newman.
He's been upgrading the cousin.
Yeah, he's picking up his 22-minute AA chip tonight.
22 minutes.
Yep.
What's the matter? Did he run? Did he run out of Kratom for the time being?
I don't know. I don't know what you kids are talking about. That's dope talk.
Yeah, they only have overnight shipping. They haven't figured out over-hour shipping yet. So as soon as Amazon gets those drones working, we're gonna have to
clean it out.
Amazon was running a test service, at least in a couple areas that I heard about.
I welcome our robot bee Kratom delivering.
Yeah, Colin. But then the government happened.
Hey, yeah. Jim, back off just a little bit.
Back off. Come at me, bro.
Everybody back off. Human. All right, that's it. Well, not everybody back off, because then nobody talks.
Yeah. Radio. Oh, no. Crash. Crash Newman. He's taking over the stereo, man. I can't stop this guy.
So I don't know exactly what this Kratom thing is.
Well, apparently, it's a wonderful thing that all the kids are doing these days.
I know, right? I was
all
having
the kids
fun
over 21.
I was having all kinds of fun with salvia, and everybody hated salvia. It was kind of a mixed opinion.
Salvia's a bad trip, man.
No, I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly. I first was trying it. It was just the raw leaf. And if you do the raw leaf and you get a good hit of it, you'll kind of trip kind of hard. But for the most part, it's kind of like herbal nitrous oxide. Like taking a NOS hit or something.
See, what, salvia?
Yeah.
Salvia looks like a bad trip from all the videos I've seen, man. Mm. I really like the driving on salvia, where the guy never leaves. His car just sits there, and he thinks he's driving.
Excuse me. I have to go to space now.
A cat jumps on his windshield, and he's like, ah! And it's just a cat just on his car, not moving.
I did that on cannabis. I think I've told that story before. Yeah. The very first time I got high, I was sitting in my car and I got so panicked because I was sitting there with a friend, and all of a sudden I slammed on the brake and like freaked out and grabbed the wheel. And my friend's like, what are you doing? I'm like, we almost hit that car. And he's like, not only are we not moving, he's like, the keys are on the floor, man. Look, the keys were lying on the floorboard.
Why do you think we call it dope, kids?
So,
yeah. So I tried like a little bit because I had some like the 20 extract, which I doubt was 20. I think it was like at least 100. It was insane. Wow. But I put a little tiny bit in my in a pipe, and I was like, yeah, I'll just smoke like 1/20th what I normally smoked, and I'll get that same effect. Right? Wrong. I was swimming in my mattress. My mattress had turned into a pool, and I splashed inside of it. And I was swimming around for a little bit, and I swam out of my mattress and pulled to the shore of my mattress. And my room was a desert, and I had some like laundry on the floor, you know, whatever. And it was basically like tumbleweeds blowing, and my carpet was sand. It was an interesting experience, nonetheless. And I've heard people have like way more intense, worlds. As you kind of leave this dimension. I hear similar things about DMT, but DMT seems to be a lot like on a different level, where salvia is kind of
Well, I tried DMT in Michigan, and that was of everything I've ever done. It was short, but it was the most intense experience I've ever had.
Yeah, and salvia is short too. Salvia trips are usually anywhere from like a minute to sometimes 30 seconds. So
that's even shorter.
Yeah, but I think when it comes to pound for pound, there's the thing, I can't remember which chemical, 7-ORM A or B, is one of the most psychoactive compounds on the face of the planet, even over
DMT.
What's it called? 7-ORM A or B. I can't remember which one of them. It was one of those two.
What, weight? Like the weight? It's more.
If you were to just get
LSD?
That particular chemical is more psychoactive per molecule than
any other substance. What's the name of it? I'm Googling this. I don't believe it.
7-ORM A or 7-ORM B. I can't remember which one it was. They're both in there. I just can't remember what exactly one is the one that your body kind of uses the most to enter this.
Because LSD can be felt at like 25 micrograms.
Yeah, I think it's 7-ORM is way stronger. And not only that, but like you would have to take like a lot of acid to leave basically like for you to be completely disassociated, whereas salvia, it's not that much. You take like one hit of some extract and you're just, I'll see you in 3 minutes. Because you're not even going to be in this dimension, so it was interesting. But you kind of have like a fear of doing it after a few times, because you're like, what if the trip goes bad? And being that far in La La Land is really scary, especially knowing that at any minute that, you know, Sunshine Lollipops Land that you went to, or your liquid mattress, whatever, could, you know, easily turn into lava or, you know, hell. So it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Kind of scary.
Well, I could imagine, but I've never, of all the, you know, psychedelics I've ever done, I've never had that fear. I've been around a lot of people that did, and even that never brought me down. I always convinced myself I would have a good time and a good trip, but I always did. I guess I'm lucky in that way.
Yeah, I've always been lucky about my psychoactive experiences. It's always been, except for weed. Now, anytime I smoke weed, even a small amount, I get extremely paranoid, extremely anxious, and I'm just not having fun. Not having fun, so yeah,
that's not good.
Yeah, people say that it's because it's getting stronger and stronger in my body, and I've been always been hypersensitive to it. So,
That could be. It's definitely got stronger. I mean, I've been a regular smoker for I guess almost 18 years now.
Yeah,
it's definitely increased in potency. So,
yeah. But. So maybe I should give this Kratom a try and. Green crack fairies on my keyboard.
Well, the way Lisa was describing it last night was that it was, you know, it's not like necessarily high. The way Lisa described it, it was almost like she was on a Coke binge or a speed or had done couple of speed balls or something, because she just had all this energy and she just worked.
Couple of speed balls. You just said like, oh, she didn't sound high. She just sounded like she did a couple of speedballs. Do you know what a speedball is?
Yes.
It's heroin and meth, yeah. It's
it's heroin and cocaine. The East Bay cocaine. Like fang version of it is, you know, heroin and meth, but no, it's heroin and coke.
I was
either
wrong.
One, people would you were wrong. Okay, look, don't get, you kids ever done needle drugs? Grandpa's going to school you here if you start claiming to know stuff. All right.
I donate platelets.
All I claim to do is know what it was. I didn't claim to know that. I claim that I did it.
You kids and your funny green powders. Back when I was your age, we were slamming heroin and LSD in our eyeballs every 90 minutes. Me and Sammy from Fang. I think.
90 minutes.
They tell me. I don't know. Yeah, I looked up this Salvadorian A. And B.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
If anyone's listening, first of all, let's just
stop there. Listens to this thing.
We're only on the radio.
I know. Hey, if anyone's got Linux and knows it a little bit, I need someone to test something on Linux, like now. All my Linux friends are letting me down, being very disappointing, not available, too busy, sleepy, stoned on Kratom. Or started doing something and then just disappeared. Like, you know, I think the government's... Yeah, do some testing for me and the government will take you out. There we go. I'll pay you 30 bips. No, I really need someone with Linux. Contact me at bipcoin. That's Bravo India Papa Coin at gmail.com. Send me a link right now. I need to get this fixed or tested. We have some new software to release. That's the good news, but... I need to test it with one more person. I'm testing it with two, I need to test with three before I'm releasing public. So
I could do it, but it's going to have to wait until we're done with the show.
Let's just cancel the show. No, then you're letting me down. You're letting me down. I need someone to do it like 2 hours ago, but...
Okay.
So
I was playing around with Zcash earlier today, and that was...
Hang on a sec. Don't write me and say... Oh, sorry, dude, I can't help you. People do that all the time when asked for help, and they think they're being helpful. That's not helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to do that. Zcash. Zcash is getting panned, man. All of the Cointelegraph and a few other, leaders of the industry kind of sites have had articles today just saying, like, bleh. And apparently the dark web has... Bleh. Here's my article. I've turned in my article. Zcash. Bleh. But apparently it's already been like rejected by the dark web too.
Did you hear
about that?
Wow. Yeah.
Like
tell me more. I don't know.
The two top dark web sites.
I know that it's been going crazy on all the exchanges. Like it's already worth almost as much as Bitcoin. I think it actually surpassed Bitcoin for a bit, didn't it? And then now it's just kind of steadily declining, and the problem with that is that when it happened, like, my Monero prices went from like $8 to $4. It's like, well, half of my wealth is gone in Monero, which is like, I had like three Monero, but whatever. I was in any sleep. I'm in it for the long haul with Monero. And I wanted to get a couple of Zcash, but I got the client, which you have to do all these kind of terminal commands, and you're basically compiling it yourself. And once you do all that stuff, then it's extremely difficult to navigate through the program. And the information
that sounds
on
great.
There,
sign me up, man.
Yeah, and then when I was on there, I was trying to figure out what my public address was and my transparent address, because there's two addresses. You have your Z address and your T address. Your Zcash address, which is private, and then you have your...
This sounds like Steam it already, man. Oh, it really
does. There's three currencies, and then you post things.
Doesn't
and you earn
Steam
money.
It sound like the way you, like when someone describes Steam it, even like someone who's technically smart and has used it and can talk to the normal people, when they describe Steam it, it sounds like they're describing, like, okay, you get it at the ground level now, and then you move up with karma points, and then like no, it sounds like. It kind of reminds me of what's that non-ride sharing program that you love so much, Jim? Arcade City.
Arcade City.
Yeah, the one that doesn't work. Yeah,
it's never going to happen.
I mean, I know people make money on Steam It, whereas Arcade City doesn't even work. But the description of Steam It sounds like the description of Arcade City. Like, if you could get enough karma points, you know. Although, to be fair. When Bitcoin was first described to me, it made total sense.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It just made sense.
Yeah, it made sense to me, but I had some skepticism about it, which
I was wrong. Yeah.
But that was mostly because I was believing Peter Schiff. And the moral of the story is, Peter Schiff was right once.
What, in 1970 when he invested in gold?
No, he was right when he predicted the financial crash of 2007, and then he's been kind of riding on that fame since, making all kinds of predictions that have been wrong. Like, he said that QE was going to like destroy the economy, but he didn't foresee that loans wouldn't pick up these loans couldn't sell off these loans, so the money never entered the marketplace to devalue the dollar. So. And there was also a lot of people who were saying that, like, the QE is going to be harmless because I don't think anybody's going to be buying a house. After this happened, people are skeptical. So, that turned out to be true. So he was wrong. And he was wrong about Bitcoin. And he's just wrong.
You know who really hated Bitcoin? Who, it was the end of me liking him. God, what's that guy's name? He wrote that book, Government by Emergency. And he was another one of those, even older school. Do you know about this guy? Oh, we should do a show on him.
I have no idea what that is.
Gary North.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that he has some other crazy stuff about him.
He's crazy.
With Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
Okay, now there's three or four little green leases running around.
Green leases.
Yeah, they're like 2 inches tall. I'm trying to keep the cats away from them.
So tell me where Gary North. Tell me where Gary North touched you on the doll.
All right, we'll get there. But I'm holding this. In my hand, I'm holding a DVD. Do you guys remember DVDs?
Yeah, blast from the past.
Yeah, somebody sent me this.
It's like Laserdisc.
Arthur Culbertson sent me this. The dude that's in the picture with the picture with Sammy holding the buttons like a bag of drugs. He sent me this thing. It's the Chatterbox DVD. The Chatterbox, named after the glam song. What was that band? New York Dolls. Chatterbox. So there was this really cool club in San Francisco called the Chatterbox, which held about, I think the legal capacity was 99 people. It was tiny. The stage was tiny, but it had a really good sound system. And it was the kind of place where, like, you could buy things other than alcohol from the bartender or the sound man. And it was great. I mean, it was the kind of place where, like, you know, when Robert Plant was in town playing with the Honey Drippers, you know, he'd show up at the Chatterbox with like 2 15-year-old girls. It was that kind of club. I never saw any underage people there except when he showed up. It's the place where Bomb played and what's the guy's name that they say in the Blue Oyster Cult, more cowbell skit.
What's Bruce Dickinson.
Yeah, but it's not really him. It's really supposed to be Sandy Pearlman. Sandy Pearlman, the producer of Blue Oyster Cult, showed up at our Chatterbox gig and wanted to be on the guest list and check us out to try to make us famous. And the drummer was like, no, man, he can pay. That's why Bob wasn't famous. Because of stuff like that. Like, no, we're not going to put, it's $3. He can pay. We're not going to put this millionaire that is, you know, only goes to see bands he's interested in signing. So, but I'm holding this thing in my hand. It's this there's a Chatterbox book and a Chatterbox DVD, and I'm in the book, but I didn't make it in the DVD because they interviewed everyone after I left town, went to LA. But I'm kind of like trepidatious about putting this in and watching it, because everyone in it I'm gonna know, have done drugs with, had sex with, had had fist fights with. I don't know, man. I'm scared. I left this behind, but I guess I'll be viewing it through the powerful telescope of a DVD, so I'll be safe. I think.
Yes. Yeah. I think you'll be fine.
So some Liberty dude, I'm not going to say his name because, you know, it's a business arrangement, and I don't know if he wants me to say his name, but some Liberty dude that we know and love wrote me today and asked me if I could make an app for him, for his podcast, you know, kind of just like four buttons or something, you know, website, play live, you know, kind of like on the Fiends app, but without all the 20 other buttons on the Fiends app, on the Android app. And he said, how much would you charge to make it for Android and iPhone? And I said, Android, $120 cash, or $100 pay, Bitcoin. And for the iPhone version, I will charge you $1,000. And I'm like, wow. I'm not kidding.
That seems reasonable.
Like for $700, it's not making it. It's dealing with Apple. I won't do it for $700. I would have to be. That broke my brain dealing with them, man. It made me trust people and hate life a little bit. It was bad.
Yeah. Speaking of hating life, let's talk about Scary Gary.
Gary North, Gary Johnson.
Yeah, Scary Gary.
So Gary North, for people who don't know, is like 108 years old. No, he's 74. And he is... So there's all these libertarians that like none of this current crew have heard of. Like most of the current crew, they're like, oh, Adam Kokesh is God. No, he's an abusive cunt. And I get one a year. And I used it.
Wow.
So, Adam Kokesh isn't who you should be looking at. There are some older school libertarians you should look at, like Boston Tea Party, Claire Wolf. However, there are people that are even more OG than them, like the people that inspired Boston Tea Party and Claire Wolf early on, you know, and one of them is Gary North, who is writing books on libertarian economics and investing in like 1972, probably, and had a newsletter back when that was something that came in the mail. And he used to sell his newsletter for like, I don't know, $200 or $300 a year for one, you know, like one page or two pages 12 times a year because his investment advice was that valuable. You know, it wasn't just like now, like you've got all these people talking about, yeah, man, the free market, but hey, please donate, you know, because they don't like back in the old days, like men were men and libertarians, people in the libertarian economics told you how to make money and it worked. And, you know, this was one of the early guys saying stockpile food, ammo, etc. He wrote a book called Government by Emergency, which we actually scanned the cover of and used as an image in Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom to describe the concept of, I think the voiceover is DJ saying something like, without a backing by guns, a law is just a suggestion. And it's got a picture, the cover of his book is like, it's a bureaucrat with a clipboard who totally looks mousy and he's like bald and skinny and hey, I'm here, you know, like an IRS dude. And so he's surrounded by two really beefy, muscular cops holding rifles. And it's like old school, like 1970s SWAT team, you know, like they're not even wearing a vest. They're just wearing like a helmet and holding like, you know, an M1, carbine or something. Mm-hmm. But he was really smart and I liked him a lot, even when I kind of found out this thing we're going to talk about today, that he has some really weird religious views. And he's actually a member of this tiny little church that's, I mean, they am I gonna get in trouble? He could probably afford an attorney. They make allegedly. ISIS they make ISIS look not conservative, like they're, you know, they make ISIS look hip. They're so square. They're so Christian Sharia. So what's the term you used? Theocracy. Yeah.
Theocracy.
Here's a theory I have that actually you could do the maths on and find out. This tiny church that has like 30,000 members in America is actually influential on the current like Republican right. Like Michelle Bachmann is a fan of this kind of thought, and it comes directly from these people. Like, you hear this all the time. Like, when you hear, like, oh, those crazy right-wing Republicans who want a theocracy, it's basically trickled down from Gary North's dad, who started this church. So the thing that really made me throw Gary Johnson under the bus and then back up a couple times over him...
Gary Johnson.
Was, I mean, Gary North. Yeah, both of them. Gary'd be driving the bus with me.
I'll throw all the Garys under the bus.
Yeah.
Gary Johnson is a deist from the looks of it. So.
Yeah, I would much rather hang out with Gary Johnson. That's how much I don't like Gary North, and I don't really like Gary Johnson. To the point where, like, when people try to add me as a friend, if they have, like, you know, let Gary speak on their page, I deny their friend request. But I would much rather, at least Gary Johnson would probably do some kratom and talk about climbing Mount Everest, which would be fun. If he shut up about politics, I'd listen to him. But Gary North,
and put his tongue back in his mouth.
The thing that made me really not like Gary North was shortly after Bitcoin started being a thing, like probably 3 years after it was out, like when it started being written up in Time magazine and stuff, he wrote this really well-worded, well-thought-out, totally wrong essay about Bitcoin that got shared a lot, about how you should not touch Bitcoin. It's wrong. It's not an investment. It's fiat. it's, you know, you should be buying gold. And this was when Bitcoin was like $10. So wow. This is the investment guy advice from this old guy who could barely, he doesn't use a computer much either. Like I tried to email him to get permission to use that image in the movie, and he never wrote back, which doesn't mean he can't use email, but it just means he might think I'm bothering him. But get away from me, kid, you bother me. But we use the image anyway. He totally looks like, get off my lawn. Yeah, I mean, this guy makes physical removal guy look young and hip.
Yeah. so he's a big fan of like this Christian Reconstructionism, which is
he's not a fan of it. His dad founded it.
Oh wow!
You know that it's founded by Rosasis Rushdoony. No, it's not his father. It's his father-in-law. It's his wife's father.
Oh okay.
Yeah,
so yeah. It's a Calvinist kind of theocratic. Theocracy of thing. I'm not.
If exactly you know what Calvinism sure, is, it's like nuts. The squarest, like, you know, recent-ish American Christian movement, probably, that's got, you know, a good bit of followers, and this is like the more extreme version of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but I guess he's also he was in this Y2K scare, and he was promoting it a lot to the point where he was like doomsday glooming so much that people were referring to him as Scary Gary.
But he made a bunch of money off it too.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's what they all did. Jack Van Imp used to swear up and down that, you know, the Bible was talking about the Y2K and was telling people to hide in bunkers. In fact, one of my roommates, when he was growing up, we actually spent like 3 days in the basement of his parents' house because they were all afraid that Y2K was going to wipe out everything and God was going to call upon them. And just in case, you know, they had like some food stocked up, you know, they were kind of hardcore preppers. And after that, he said he was eating a steady regimen of canned foods for... after they realized, okay, he was wrong. It was a lot of canned food after that. So, yeah, a lot of people made a lot of money off that stuff. He did too, apparently, because fear sells. Fear sells. You can scare anybody into buying stuff, and that's kind of the way politicians work too, right? They always scare. So, if the other guy gets elected, everybody's going to die.
We're kind World of War burying, III. We're burying a lead here, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of like. Us bearing lead here is kind of like how you sat in your car and did a video about how behind me is the largest line I've ever seen at the Trump rally. And I'm like,
I couldn't film.
Shut up and show the line. You know?
Well,
you don't sit in your car outside the line and describe the line. That's such bad news. If you have video, you show video. All right, so the thing we're missing is you said
it was
that
just
he's
a stupid Facebook video no one watched.
All right. I'm going to tell when we get back how crazy this guy is Christian-wise and religiously. You mentioned it, but you didn't give any examples, really. I have examples. Of the stuff he said that sounds like ISIS. Words.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no firsthand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth Justice American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth Justice American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth Justice American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth Justice American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
that women who disobey their husbands should be stoned to death. He said the same thing of teenagers and children that disobey their parents. And he said the same thing of all homosexuals. So that's the kind of...
As well as blasphemers.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. God damn it. Oops. Sorry.
You were on a roll tonight.
Wow.
It's not me. It's Cash Newman. He sounds just like me. We're related.
Okay, so yeah. So when I was a lad, I used to go to a venue almost multiple times a week, not almost, every week, multiple times a week, to a venue in Riverside, California, which is my hometown, at UCR called The Barn, which is the same university that our buddy Scary Gary North is not only an alumnus of,
professor.
But yeah, he's also a professor there as well.
Oh.
And you said you had a story. Did you play at The Barn? Where this is going?
Nope, never been there. I don't know if I've ever even been to Riverside. I've been it's Orange County, right?
No, it's Riverside County. Okay.
Definitely never been there. But here's my story. It's kind of funny. So when I was making Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, you know, somebody told me about this book he had. And they, you know, basically I posted on Twitter or something. I don't even know if I think I was on, was Facebook feeding around? It might have been on MySpace. I forget. It was so long ago. But I posted, hey, I'm trying to find a picture that illustrates this idea of that, you know, laws are only laws if they're backed by a gun. If they don't have a gun backing them, it's just a suggestion. And someone said, check out this book by this guy named Gary North called Governed by Emergency. So I looked it up, found it on YouTube. I was like, that's perfect. But YouTube only had a tiny thumbnail of it. It wouldn't work in a movie. It would look horrible. So I looked around online, and like most older books that weren't terribly popular, you can't find anything but a small thumbnail of them, if anything. So I ordered a used copy of this book that was like 99 cents, but I ordered it with, you know, like overnight shipping because we were putting this movie to bed soon and I needed this image, you know, so I paid like, I don't know, $12 for this $1 book used, and I got it. I scanned it. I had to cut the cover off to scan the cover correctly. So I cut the cover off. It's this big paperback. And I look inside, and there's something stamped in there with a rubber stamp. And it says, property of, and it's that school library. They sold his copy, like his book from the library. That library sold his book on Amazon. Or someone stole it. But I think they sold his book. I think that he doesn't work there anymore, and people are probably like, oh, my God, he wants to kill gays and children and women who, you know, have a pulse. So, yep, they sold his book.
That's pretty funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah. He's a nut job. And the sad thing is, like, Tom Woods, who is an economist, and he also does the Ron Paul curriculum, Ron Paul mm-hmm. school.
It's really the Tom Woods school that's branded
basically
Ron Paul.
It's kind of a brand. I think it's.
I don't think Tom Woods.
He did most of the work for the.
Did Ron Paul write any of it?
I think he just improved it. I think that's what it was.
All right.
But it was just kind of like targeting, at the time, Ron Paul was kind of leading a movement, and of course, if you attach that name and it comes up in search results, it's awesome SEO. So, but now, probably not so much. Either way, I guess Gary North had a big hand in it, and that was a big thing for a while. It's like, well, we shouldn't trust this because it's going to be Christian Reconstructionism, which it's not. There's no evidence that it is.
Well, Christian Reconstructionism is also one of the ways it's really influential on the Christian right. And if you go to the Christian Reconstructionism page on Wikipedia, this is explained. Christian homeschooling being a popular thing is largely because of this school being really at this church being really adamant about pushing that publicly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well.
And they have a quote from the Bible to back it up. Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's it. That means you must homeschool your kids.
That says it all. I mean, come on. You don't see that, Michael? You don't get that from that line?
And it's Jesus saying it. But I think that the Christian Rushdunists think it's them. the me in it. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. We're going to get nasty letters.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much inevitable at this point.
Bob. Bob the kitten is just bothering me so much. It's fun. I love it. Bob. Do you guys OD? You still there?
No, I'm still here.
I'm still here. Let's see.
We'll be back.
So, for Rush Dooney, the idea of dominion inspired a form of Christianity, Christian theocracy.
Wow. All right. Bitcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you...
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow. I don't have the intro. Do you know this one? I don't.
Yeah, I think I have this one.
Okay. I was always bad with the second hour.
This is the Freedom Fiends.
It's always the best hour, though.
Broadcast.
Sorry to interrupt. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to make sure I interrupted.
Libertarian Reeducation Centers. Low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite, LibPair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends covered by a BIPCAT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCAT.org. So we are back for the second
I'm
hour.
Getting a lot of childhood trauma in that one, actually.
Molly.
That's
no.
Not an argument, by the way.
Molly, no.
The show is covered by a not an argument license. It allows use of non-arguments by anyone that's not Molyneux.
You know, I used to parrot that line, so.
Well, it's interesting. Okay, so not an argument is a, kind of bearing the lead. So I was kind of making fun of a YouTube philosopher by the name of Stefan Molyneux, though he's not really kind of a philosopher anymore. He doesn't really delve into this as much anymore. Now it's always about Trump, and the truth about stuff. Which is a series that he does where he says he's exposing the truth of current events or celebrities that have passed away or anything that's happening right now. Anything that's a trending topic, he has to make a video about because that's how SEO works. And he needs money. Even if the stuff is like poorly researched, he'll crank something out. Apparently there was some Fall of Rome video that he did, and there was someone who actually was really really into Roman history that was kind of like either fudging these facts or not getting your research right, because a lot of the stuff was, for example, one of the things he talked about was like the Roman citizens only had to pay what was equivalent to 2 days' work for their income tax, whereas, you know, we pay, what, 4 months? But what he doesn't mention is that to be a citizen, you're almost basically like an aristocrat. Yes. And that the common citizenry were actually not considered citizens, and they had to pay much higher taxes. So that's kind of
a minor point, Jim.
Yeah, it's just a minor point.
You're quibbling over, you know, that's just silly.
But that's just one example. But so I had made a video in response to one of his videos that he said where he was upset or why I was wrong about libertarians.
Yes,
libertarians. And I also made a podcast with the guy who runs Freedom Tunes, the YouTube channel, which is a great YouTube channel. Google it. YouTube it, I guess. That's the right word. Not Google it. Freedom Tunes. Awesome channel. And I apparently this upsets them. And I have been receiving the wrath of the Steph bots over the last 24 hours, 48 hours, however long it's been up. Which is interesting because when you go on to Stefan Molyneux's channel and you see a video that you don't like, and you say, like, this guy has a stupid face. Like, I don't like the way he talks.
Oh, he's so
arrogant. That person will be barraged in a like kind of like love bombing cults have like love bombing where anybody who comes in, they're like spreading love, but it's kind of the inverse of that. It's like hate bombing. They keep spreading the stuff of not an argument, not an argument, not an argument. Because Molyneux does that, and he encourages his listeners to do the same. Anytime someone makes something that is not an argument, because making non-arguments is going to destroy the world, according to him. So I got this stuff, but when he comes in, if you criticize him, people are quick to say, well, you're kind of stumbling there over your words here and there. Clearly, you have some sort of mental issue. And so I just love saying, not an argument back, because it drives them nuts. Apparently, I had triggered someone because I had said that he begs for money, which he does. You know, it's kind of a negative way of saying what he does. He asks for donations, but apparently this kind of triggered him. So I'm going to have to recut this and make the safe space version where I take that word out because it was very triggering. He was very upset that I used that word. So yeah.
I mean, It does border on begging. I mean, it's kind of hard to like, especially. I mean, I remember
phone.
We've talked Fiend about this. I was a fan for a long time, and he does end up like at least once a month doing a specific video for
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Him begging for like 5 minutes, right? You've seen those, I'm sure.
I'm sorry, I did not hear anything you just said. Free phone died on me again mid rant. So I'm just going to pretend that I heard everything you said and go, yes, I agree with that.
He makes videos like at least once a month that are like 5 minutes long of just him begging for for money. So like it's not that far off to say he begs for donations.
The worst ones is when someone donates a dollar or $2 or $3. He'll do a 30-minute long video. He doesn't name them by name, but he'll make this huge long video talking about this person only donated $2. You know, you're not helping philosophy when you do that. It's not enough. You should be donating quite a bit. 50 cents a video. That's what I ask for, but, you know, not at once. This is horrible. Like, how dare you? Politics is ran by money. These people are funding billions of dollars to spread this propaganda. The least you can do is, you know, give me $5, you know. Because I'll free the world, you know. It's always that kind of bombastic talk. But I don't know. I think this kind of goes with any ideology, you know, except for communists because, you know, they're losers. But but there's always kind of like scammers in any kind of thing that's kind of gaining traction, even though he's kind of went to the alt-right, which is the new fad right now, and kind of left the libertarians in the dust. And good riddance, have fun with him. But, you know, there's libertarianism has its own little kind of group of, I'm not going to say scammers, because I don't know if they're scammers or fraudsters. I don't know. They're allegedly fraudsters, yes. Scammers, cult leaders, liars, drug abusing alcoholics, womanizers, whatever, etc. Down the line, there's all these kinds of people, and I guess the latest one besides him is Kokesh, allegedly
slave master.
Abuser, contract. I guess it's not really slavery. The correct term would be indentured servitude. Yeah. So, you probably know about this. You want to explain this?
This whole thing. Yeah, I see. I missed the beginning of this. What I was got out of this is that he released the contract. For a copy of the contract of that he had with his girlfriend, or did they actually get engaged at the time? I forget. But
I think they were engaged.
Yeah, I think they were engaged and for together.
He's engaged again, by the way.
Yes, this is true. and he, you know, released this for whatever reason. And apparently, like, according to her, according to the video she put out, there was other people spreading false stories about her. But this contract of, you know, the things she had to do for him and the her, you know, the restrictions she had on that she was putting on, or, you know, that she was agreeing to be put under. I don't know. It was this crazy thing. So,
yeah, she alleges that she was kind of under emotional arrest, which, into making this contract in order to continue being with him. And she was kind of, you know, if you understand relationship dynamics and what she was explaining in it, it's very similar to what goes in a cult. In fact, a lot of cult experts will actually kind of counsel relationships that they see as very overly controlling, because it's the same kind of psychology that's going on.
Makes sense.
Not saying that he's a cult leader for one, not saying that, definitely not saying that, allegedly. he has been accused of that, I guess, but that's the same kind of dynamic that's kind of going on there. And yeah, so during up one of their kind of how abusive relationships work, you know, you have ups and downs, honeymoons and mm-hmm. divorces. During one of the honeymoon, like, he convinced her to write this contract out so that this kind of downward slope does not happen again. And so she did. And from what I understand, again, I love saying that, apparently. From what I understand, I'm going to say that one more time. From what I understand, the way this worked was that his campaign staff has, for his presidential bid for the Libertarian Party in 2020, had been dropping like flies. They're all leaving and accusing him of fraud. And I guess he was assuming, I don't know if it's true, but he was assuming that it was all coming from her, the ex-girlfriend. And then just drop this information to try to squelch any of this rumor that he is. I'm not sure if that's true, but that's what I think I've read. I'm not sure.
That would make sense.
And she was basically defending herself from these allegations. And she said that she had no contact with any of these campaign staff before they left.
Well, yeah, because one of his staff, I guess, put out another video. There's at least one other video that went out, and from what I understand about that one is that guy ranted and raved about him and claimed fraud, but I don't think actually had any evidence of fraud. I was confused on that one.
Yeah, like, so I'm not sure if he was saying that he was defrauding them, or if he was a fraudster in the past, because that has been alleged, even by one of the co-hosts here. Just by one of the co-hosts. The other ones would say it's alleged by him. And also by Amanda Billyrock. I don't know if you remember her. She was I wouldn't say a libertarian boomer. That's
what?
But she was very articulate and did some well-spoken videos and always showed almost from the neck up, mostly.
Yes.
But defrauded Derek J, defrauded her. But I don't think they defrauded the campaign staff. But we'll talk more about libertarian scammers and con artists a little bit.
Allegedly.
Alleged
scammers.
And con so to speak.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
It'll work out. I kind of worked kind of had a little quick patch. So I'll let you know when it's happening, give you a heads up. So that way I'm not just leaving you high and dry.
Excellent.
Yeah. So we were talking about Kokesh, and we should probably wrap this up in a bow, because I kind of went off on a little tangent, because I was kind of wanted to lead somewhere, and we ended up talking about Kokesh, because it's important. You know, we should kind of issue a little PSA, like, you know, libertarians are probably going to be one of the most honest and trustworthy people you ever meet. And also the worst scammy people you can ever meet. And you really kind of have to know it. And usually people who are kind of the big charismatic people, and people who, you know, if you'll meet and you seem really nice and they're your best friend, immediately off the bat, those are the ones you're really going to have to worry about, you know. Yeah. Not all the time. Yeah, I met some wonderful people who were probably the best people in the world, and they were instantly my friends when I went to see them at JackFest. So, you know. Just kind of beware. Yeah. But one of these people who I am not saying is one of those terrible people is Kokesh. But allegedly he is. Allegedly. Defrauded some people. So just be careful, I guess, is what I'm saying. Know who you're talking about. Do your research on these people. Get both sides of the story. Come to your own conclusions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know, because that's been the most fascinating thing for me is not because I don't really have a dog in the fight per se. Like I've heard the previous stories about Adam. I heard Macy's response. I actually got to meet her in Michigan back in, you know, the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. You know, she seemed nice. I talked to her for a little bit, but you know, I don't really know. I don't think anybody really knows beyond them. And
yeah,
I don't know.
She could be very well be making this all up. I don't know. I'm just going to just say both sides, and you know, he denies this is it's true. His current fiance denies this is true, and has kind of gaslit her to an extent. and has rebutted her claim. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Come to your own conclusions. But anyways, where I really kind of wanted to go with this was the Stefan Molyneux comments. The people who have been commenting on my video that I made critiquing him. And it's kind of interesting because a lot of these people are coming from this alt-right group, which is a kind of a very far-right ideology. It's an umbrella term for a bunch of different ideologies, but they seem to have kind of one big theme in common, and that is kind of immigration. But a lot of them also kind of take up kind of ethno-nationalism, which is kind of like racial, like they kind of want to create like a racially homogeneous society. A lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them do. Mm-hmm. And it kind of is a reaction movement to or fallout from a reaction movement from the far left, which has been absolutely crazy with the social justice warriors thing, and the people that are blocking freeways and school entrances and forbidding people who are of a certain race, mostly white people, from going back and forth, and you know, but the idea kind of comes from what I want to talk about is kind of the horseshoe theory. You kind of explained horseshoe theory at the break a little bit. Did you want to kind of explain what horseshoe theory is? Your interpretation, at least?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, basically,
how you understand it?
Yeah, that you have two sides that supposedly oppose each other, like the SJWs and the alt-right, you know, are always seem to be at odds with each other. But the further you get away from, like, the further you get to the extremes on the end of the spectrum, as it were, they actually start to converge. They start to get more alike, closer
like
together.
Like a horseshoe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's, you know, and then they're, you know, they scream each other thinking that they're so different, which is just, when you stand on the outside of it, it's actually kind of, well, if they weren't so dangerous, it'd be funny.
Largely, they're kind of ineffective, but the alt-right has kind of had their presidential candidate kind of take them under their wing, so seems like one's getting a little bit more stronger than the other, but it's more of a reaction to what they perceive as a very popular movement, which is not really popular. Social justice warriors are very fringe. Effective, but very fringe. And they only really hang out at universities.
This is true. Well, yeah. Wait, yeah, and the internet.
Yeah, and you know, on the internet, every movement sounds popular. You know, the Zeitgeist movement thinks that they're the hottest thing since sliced bread, but if you ask anybody on the street, they're like going to be like, "Psych, who?"
Yes, and those, you know, the flat earthers talk about us ballers like, you know, we're a dying breed.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny.
DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT.org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers. And there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
Are happening like crazy.
Probably tell Michael he can't play with Bitcoin anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm not Bitcoining, which is interesting. Well, anyway, so before I get drone again, we were talking about the horseshoe theory, which states that the further away you get from the center of any kind of ideology and the more extreme you go, the more the extremes become more similar than the centrists. So the far, far left have a lot more in common with the far, far right than they do with, you know, just your run-of-the-mill normies or people more in the center kind of ideologies, which would be kind of, ranging. So some of the things that they have in common is kind of the concept of triggering, which came out of the social justice movement, actually, and they're using it kind of in lieu of kind of like, what is it? PTSD. So PTSD, yeah. You know, post-traumatic stress disorder. There's things that will trigger kind of panic attacks or certain things. And this kind of came from like a Melody Hemsley type thing. Then that's where it came popular, but they were using it before then. So if you mention things like rape or assaults or being called the wrong pronoun, you could trigger a panic attack from these leftists. So anytime there's things that would be quote unquote triggering, you have to issue a trigger warning, according to these people. So they really are really insistent that you don't want to trigger anybody because you don't want to do that. And anytime you mention anything like this, they become triggered. And that's kind of like a term for the far right, or not even the far right, but anybody who's noticed these people on the far left who get upset about anything at all, they become triggered. And you're being triggered right now. But the way they behave when they're being quote unquote triggered is almost identical to the way the far right talks about if you even mention anything that they would consider to the left. Like, you know, like, I don't agree that, you know, black people have inferior IQs than other people. Then they become triggered. Oh, you're part of the left. You're a social justice warrior, feminazi. Bunch of non-arguments. And I know you probably encountered this, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, because, and it's funny, they're most of them are completely oblivious to the fact that they really do. They just use the same exact tactics.
Yeah.
And in response. And I know some people that have drifted further and further in that direction, and I don't understand why, but before they got that far away, they were at least cognizant of the fact that this would happen, but they just, it's almost like they get so used to only dealing with these people on a, like the people who they see as their enemy. Mm-hmm. Like they're mortal enemies on the other side all the time, that they just view anybody who has any type of opinion. It's just like it's a reflex. It's, as soon as they hear those words, oh, got to say something.
Yep.
you have to disagree with everything I stand for. If you disagree with this one thing, it's like, no, that's not how this works. You, And like I said, some of these people that are, you know, were friends of mine, I'm like, you used to get this. What happened? I don't understand.
Yeah, like there's this guy who made this horrible alt-righty. He's kind of on the, he says he's a libertarian, but I don't know. He's advocating for fascism. But either way.
Oh, come on. It's
because it's the only way to defeat communism. So it's a moral thing to do. Anyway, he had made this video where he said that a fellow YouTuber was a, quote, far-right YouTube channel, unquote. And as soon as he started questioning Molyneux, he went from being a far-right YouTuber to a communist. Communist, wow. Fake libertarian. It was a matter of probably, what, I think he released that video last month. So in a matter of a month, he went from being a libertarian to a communist, or far-righter to a communist, and all it took was just, you know, having one wrong opinion, right? And, you know, they lump anybody who disagrees with them into that category. I have been accused of being both an alt-righter and a social justice warrior in the same day, the same day, for having almost an identical opinion, you know, like, I don't think you need to waste your time having a white nationalist society, because people tend to kind of group together on their own anyway, if left unhampered. That both triggered the far right and the far left, and that I've been called, in before having that opinion, a social justice warrior and an alt-righter. And a racist and all that other stuff. So, and they also have like these terms, right? They all have like these terms.
Yes.
Like, one I can't say. The left will say things like, "You're an S lord," or "You're a you know, an alt writer." That's the common, that's the new slur of theirs. "You're a fascist." Yes. Neoliberal, which is not even a real thing. And no matter what, like, you can actually be a hardcore socialist, and you just mentioned, like, you know what, I think they're actually kind of right on this one particular issue, and it's not even issue related. Like, you could just agree with a fascist saying something like, you know, I like McDonald's. You know, I like having one of their cheeseburgers from time to time. Well, because you disagree with me about McDonald's, like, you're a fascist. You're totally on board with them, right?
Yeah.
Well, and the alt-right has it too. Everyone's a social justice warrior, commie, leftist, regressive. What's the other ones they do? Virtue signaler. You name it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's. I said something about it the other day, that the whole virtue signaling thing, and I was guilty of this for a while too. But now it just it's becoming like the racist of the current year. It just, people just, and language
current
just
year.
Yes, and language just ceases to have meaning with these people. That's what it is. Everything just becomes like, people just every you know, words mean whatever they want them to mean, and they just throw them out there, because it's easier than actually formulating an argument, which is always, of course,
That's not an argument.
I just wanted to mention
well, exactly,
that.
Well, exactly, which I was going to say, which is ironic.
Which is also not an argument.
Yes.
Not an argument. It's not an argument.
Yes, and it's more ironic for the people, for the people, I guess, on the more on the alt-right side, because they're, well, that's usually supposed to be their shtick. They're supposed to, a lot of them are supposed to be about logic and stuff, and it's like, no, you've totally missed the point.
Yeah. And, well, you know, you're just a social justice warrior, fascist, S lord, cuck. Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah. That word, it was like, really, like, and that was another one that started off like, they, you know, the alt right started throwing that around. That was their insult for anybody that disagreed with them first, and then there was a faction of anarchists that I knew that started using it like, kind of like back at them, but then it became an even bigger thing, and I was like, oh no, this is just wrong. Why did you we did not have this word did not need to be in the vernacular. Like, no, just go away.
I think one of my favorite little comic strips that I've seen recently, well, not recently, it's been around for a while, is the you just see like this robot, and it's just saying
cock, 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 cock. And he was like, I have invented an alt-right robot. And he was like, why would you invent such a thing? And they just show him thinking for two panels, like, hmm. Well, just cock, 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 cock. Yeah, everyone's a cock.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, but like I said, it's just it's funny because I mean, well, it took, like I said, it'd be funnier if they're dangerous to the point that they do have a voice. At least the SJWs get their way a lot, you know, because they do have a presence. It's always, you know, it's always that vocal minority that people focus on anyway. Even in the bigger movements, there's always that small crazy faction that most people see.
But the alt-right actually is a term for a small, crazy faction.
Well, yeah, this is true. They've taken it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, but it's been growing. And, you know, if you sit there and call people who you disagree with fascist, racist, over and over and over again, you start to kind of be desensitized to being called that. And you start going like, well, you know, what's wrong with fascism? You know, well, maybe what is wrong with racism? Like, let's look into these things, and that's what happened. And people started doing that and taking these horrible, bad ideas, which empirically have negative consequences. There's no good that comes out of these things. And you know, saying like, well, maybe there's some merit to it. You know, this kind of seems a little bit plausible now that all the stigma is gone, which it got a stigma for a reason. Guys, it did. Yeah. Like it had got a stigma because they're not good ideas. They're tested and failed ideas, right?
So. Yeah, and it's one thing, like, you know, hey, listen, especially for, I guess, these people that I thought or claimed to be anarchists that have shifted now into that category, and I don't even know if they're coming back here anymore. I used to think it was just like an expediency thing, and now I'm just like, no, I think they've just completely lost their minds. But they're gonna keep pushing. Yeah, well, some of them maybe, but they really like these things that, again, like you said, there's, you know, a lot of evidence that it's just not a good idea. It's like, well, no, maybe just this one more time. It's like, wait a minute, isn't this the same exact thinking that you were ridiculing from everybody else like last year? You don't make the connection? You don't see it?
Yeah, like, and on top of that, like, there's this like one example is there's a person who's saying that, you know, fascism is the logical thing to do in order to stop people like this anarcho-syndicalist who is getting some traction in the mainstream, which is not, but getting some traction in the mainstream. But what he fails to realize is that fascism is actually a flavor of syndicalism. It's a nationalist version of syndicalism. You're just taking it and then just saying, okay, we're also going to have all these social prescriptions, not economic prescriptions, but social prescriptions, like, you know, we don't like this color of people, and we don't... Yeah. You know, you're adding that on as a layer on top of it, and people look at that and say, oh, okay, now that's far right. Well, on those particular issues, yes, but economically they're a little bit more in line with you. So that's where the kind of the horseshoe comes in, is now we're having a lot more similarities, where people like me, it's kind of like, well, you could do whatever you want, just stay out of my bedroom and my wallet.
Yes,
leave me alone. All of you, the racists and the hardcore egalitarians, get away from me.
Yeah, start your own little thing. I'll leave you alone, I swear.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. By sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom.
Fiend bought 3,000.
Fiend phone.
Bip caught no gov.
Bad audio is a hate crime.
A Freedom Fiends worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you ones listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
Yeah, horseshoe theory. Horseshoes. Which is the concept, if you're just tuning in. This is the last segment, so you kind of missed out. But the concept of that, the more extreme you get on either side, the closer you actually are to the opposing side. So if you're on the extreme right, the far, far crazy storm front, alt-right, you know, there's a variety of these kind of far-right ideologies, you're going to be more a little bit more inclined to agree with or do things that are very similar to people who are on the very far, far left, like communists, socialists, Democrats who need to be physically removed, so to speak. And yeah, so we were basically talking about that. And you know, and how they act the same, and they have like similar traits, and they kind of adversarial things. And one of the things that a lot of them are kind of advocating now is kind of this race thing. Like, we need to segregate the races. And even the far left does it, but they don't want to admit it, but they do kind of want, but they say things like, we need to have safe spaces away from, you know, like people who are in power. And the people who are in power, according to them, are white males, and even white females who are cisgendered are definitely triggering to them. And they had this big protest not too long ago where they blocked the front entrance of a school, and were only letting people who were not white through. Everybody else who was white had to go down this little path and walk through this little creek and then come back up the other side in order to get through to class or whatever. And I think it's horrible on both ends. It's not just bad to say, oh, I think we should keep them separate but equal. And also people who should say, like, we need to keep them separate from our feelings. It doesn't matter what it is.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
all horrible. And they all have demonstrably negative effects. Demonstrably.
Well, yeah, exactly. And people like that, unfortunately, they don't, well, a lot of them don't, most of them, actually, don't recognize the fact that they can only get that with, you know, essentially the government guns at their back, because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm more than happy. That's what I said before. I think I said before we went to break that, you know, in a free society, hey, go have your little enclave. If you want to be all white, or if you want to, you know, if you want to protect yourself from the whites, hey, go crazy. Just don't bother me or anybody else who wants nothing to do with you. And you know, watch how quickly you destroy it. You eat yourself.
When you're all kicking each other out because your 23andMe results came back that says you were 164th black, which is funny because every single alt-righter that I know who does a 23andMe comes back and starts bemoaning how terrible it is that they are part black, and they're trying to figure out who it was that was messing around with their slave. Which I think in the end, what it really comes down to is that it's just kind of picking up any kind of African ancestry at all, because you know the theory is a lot of them are humans came from Africa and migrated north and kind of adapted to their environment. And so they all have that kind of ancestry in them.
But I'm a Neanderthal kin, you know. I have 23% Neanderthal genes.
Well, they seem to think along those lines. I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to do the appeal to the moderate, do the moderation, the middle, appeal to the middle ground, where, you know, it's always the middle ground. You know, there's a lot of good things to be radical about. Gun ownership is a great thing. I think you should be able to privately own nukes, and I also think that, you know, you should be able to have heroin. Vending machine in every elementary, well, maybe middle school, but you know they have to be privately owned. That's my caveat. They have to be privately owned.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, like I said, well, privately owned. That's the problem, and that's what all these people, these kooks that that want to have there's, you know, I don't know. I have no problem with them wanting it. You know, like I said, that's. That's fine. That to me, that's what freedom is all about. Yeah, you can want that, and you know, we'll just let essentially the free market of society decide if they want to live near you, if they want to trade with you, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna use government, you know,
and trigger all of these people, date a black girl, it'll make all of them mad. All of them.
This is very true.
A cisgendered black woman.
Yeah.
So that was a whole lot of fun. Thank you, Jeremy.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
Worms.
Worms.
Best meow in the game.
Yeah.